Hello, everybody. Tonight's episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Please remember to include that /PWP Radio so they know that we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year, and welcome to the return of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 66. And we've got a hell of an episode for you tonight. In just a moment, we'll be talking to the brand new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, one half of the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton. He'll be with us in just a second. But tonight, we've got a big show. We'll be talking about our year-end awards, 2013 year-end awards as voted on by our fans at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And later in the show, in hour number two, we will be doing our WrestleMania 30 fantasy booking episode that was very, very successful last year. So we're hoping to have another successful run with that again tonight. But without further ado, like I just said, I would like to introduce the brand new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion and one of the greatest, absolute greatest tag team wrestlers in the history of wrestling. His feuds with the Midnight Express, Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, they're synonymous with pro wrestling history and some of the greatest feuds and matches of all time. One half of the Rock and Roll Express, Mr. Ricky Morton. Ricky, how you doing tonight, man?
Man, I'm doing great. What an intro. I'm down here in the South, buddy, but it's freezing down here, I'm telling you.
It's like that way across the entire country right now. And it's an exciting time for you, though, Ricky. Brand new NWA Junior World Heavyweight Champion. Tell us a little bit about that experience and what it means to be the new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Well, guys, let me tell you, it's a great compliment about what you said anyway, man. But, you know, it's after all these years, you know, I was telling people that I'm 58 years old, and when it happened, you know, I wrestled Chase Owens, Kingsport, Tennessee, on January the 4th, and it's not me trying to be somebody that I'm not. Man, I gave a lot of years to this business, had a lot of great times, but you know what, just becoming the World Junior Heavyweight Champion is something I never imagined. Because, you know, all the young, great athletes out here in this business today, but on that given night, buddy, just that given night, I can't say that I could have beat anybody, but that night, it was just right. I mean, I was able to fulfill a dream, man, that you know, the first time is like when Robert and I first won the world NWA World Tag Team Championship. But I felt like I was 22 years old again. You know, like I said, I'm an older man, but I kept myself in shape. And I like these younger guys in the business, you know, to try to help them make good decisions. Another thing, man, is for NWA. You know, but I'm an NWA wrestler. I've always been NWA's in my heart. And to have that opportunity to wrestle Chase Owens. Let me tell you, by beating Chase Owens, I beat the greatest junior heavyweight champion, and it was great, buddy. That's all I can say about that. Okay.
That's absolutely phenomenal. Now, we've had you on the show in the past, and we had major technical difficulties. Wasn't our fault, wasn't your fault. It was the fault of the system. But you mentioned, and this is something we asked you last time, you mentioned that you've stayed in shape over the years, and we like to really preach physical fitness and the importance of staying in shape, not just as a pro wrestler, but for the fans out there. So can you tell us, you know, what your physical fitness regimen is right now and how you've had to change it and kind of fluctuate it throughout the years of your career?
Well, buddy, let me tell you, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not a bodybuilder, and I gave up my modeling career a long time ago. But I understand me, dude. The performing in this business, you know, you got to be who you are. And I tell a lot of young guys this, and I meet a lot of them, especially at seminars and everything else. If you don't stay in shape, you're going to get hurt. Our business is a physical business when you're inside that ring. I mean, things that might not look that hurts, that's the ones that do hurt. And if you're not in shape, buddy, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to survive in this business. You know, I do my little routine every morning. You know, I'm at the gym before everybody else is. Like I told you, I'm not a bodybuilder. But, you know, I work out every morning. I get on the treadmill like anybody else does. But Sad, keeping myself in shape and physical. You know, when the people pay to see Ricky Morton, buddy, I try to give the people their money's worth.
No, absolutely. And, you know, watching you, I told you before we went on the air that I watched a lot of your matches recently. I've been just on an old-school NWA kick because up here in New Jersey back in, you know, the 80s and stuff, I was just a kid, and we didn't really have a lot of NWA wrestling. You know, we had what was on TBS, but I didn't get to see a lot of that. So as a fan now, I'm going back and watching a lot of those. And let me tell you what, man. You said, you know, your modeling careers are over, but back then, those women loved you. Do you have any stories? Do you have any stories from the Rock and Roll Express days about, you know, women in the NWA days and then the kind of stuff that went on with that?
Well, buddy, I got a lot of stories, but I don't want to hurt a lot of people's feelings. Let me tell you, dude, at that time, Robert and I were rock stars and didn't know it. But, you know, I speak it for me. And it even goes on even today, even though I'm 58 years old. I know you guys, you know George Calipano, the guy that writes for the magazines.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
You know George?
Yep.
You know, he asked me the same question at the reunion, the NWA reunion we had in Charlotte, North Carolina back in September. And right when he asked me this question, this beautiful girl walked up. And me and her got to talking, and he's sitting there looking at me. And the next thing I know, I get up and leave with this girl. So, but it's still today a beautiful girl, too, man. He told me, and he just looked at me and says, damn, I couldn't believe you just did that. But, guys, that's all a part about, what can I say? You know, I'm still a man, but... But, guys, it's, hey, I lost the words, man. You got me lost, first time ever.
It's okay. Fine, man. Well, you know, a lot of people love to hear old road stories from back in the day, and I'm sure, you know, the business has evolved so much, and I'm sure you have some crazy stories. Do you have a short one you could share with us from your road days back in the NWA?
Oh, some of our road trips, guys, you know, I was trying to tell, you know, is it all right to get away with things on the radio here?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what
internet
to say
radio.
And what not to say.
Say whatever you
want. I mean,
want.
I had a lot of crazy road stories, but this is one I'm going to tell you. Okay. It is just something that happened. And you got to understand, I did this 365 nights, you know, a year. We wrestled. Back then, you know, it was good to have a day off a month. But, Buddy Landell, him and I were in Philly one night, and guy, we was in downtown area doing something, and we're walking down this road, and it's like a little door, and we see people going up in there, so we go up there and knock on this door. Private club is called the Black Banana, and I never forget this right here. So the guy had a little thing. He opened up, he looked out, I guess it worked for the right time, because when he looked out, he goes, hey, we got Ric Flair out here. And Buddy Landell goes, goddamn right, we got Ric Flair. And they let us in. But, dude, when we walked into this bar, I didn't know. It was in our heyday, and, you know, sometimes things I don't do no more, but there was a lot of snow in there, if you know what I'm talking about.
I got
it. But it was all glass. Everything was glass in this place, and I could not believe this. even the bathrooms, they were co-ed bathrooms. And I, you know, walking down the road, I had to pee real bad. Then I walked into the bathroom, not even realizing. I thought I walked into the ladies' bathroom, but it wasn't. It was a beautiful girl sitting here on a tag gum toilet. And she looked up at me. She goes, here, handed me some of that cold weather stuff. And I hit, and then I looked out, and Buddy Landell's waving at me. But hell, I didn't know. I'm sitting there taking a piss, talking to this girl, snorting that. And everybody at the bar is looking at me through this glass window. Everything was glass in there. You could see everything. The damnest thing I've ever been in my life. That was just one night of some of the wildest stuff we've ever done. But I've been on, you know, I've been on stage with a lot of rock bands and, you know, seeing a lot of things, especially out in L.A. and going over to Japan. But that just come off the top of my mind. I never forgot that because you were speaking that you're up in Jersey. But the Philadelphia area, you know, to me, I consider that up north. So that's what came into my mind, bud.
That's a great one. A fan had a question for you, and it's about the way you were perceived in the tag team, the Rock and Roll Express, and still are to this day, where you were kind of the guy, you were the face in peril. You were always getting your ass kicked and made that hot tag to Robert. Is there an art to that? Is there a certain kind of psychology that goes into being the guy who's just taking that relentless punishment and knowing when to kind of pull off the gas pedal and put it back on and make that hot tag?
Yeah, buddy. I mean, it's a, you know, and not getting off what you're asking me, but to go into things, people, I meet a lot of people today, and you read a lot of stuff out on the internet. People say that tag team wrestling is dead. But you got to understand, tag team wrestling is not dead. It's just that a lot of guys don't know how to do it. I know that they're breaking into the business now looking for that top spot on their own. And I don't know in my mind or if I think so, that. But to me, it looks like one guy's afraid of other guys and get over better than him and blah, blah, blah. But what they fail to understand, even as being in a single baby face or being a tag team wrestler, you've got to be able to know how to tell a story. You see, there's a difference between selling and dying. My job was always, I sold. But when I was selling, the whole time I sell, I never died. I always kept myself alive. I never, you know, I was never just dead. You know, and I never flopped around like a fish out of water. And that episode of telling that story, I had to give Robert that hot tie. It had to be at the right time. Yeah, but see, that's a lot of things that people don't understand either. And don't get me wrong, I don't have the answers to everything. But a lot of the young guys, you know, it's learning how to listen to the people. It's learning our business. It's learning what to do when you're inside that ring. It's not just jumping in there and saying, damn, did my Hurricane Corona look good? You know, that's not what our business is about. Our business is going out there, painting that picture at the first, right when the ring bell, learning what you're doing. You know, Robert and I had great chemistry in the ring. You know, Robert was a, you know, Robert's a great worker, still is. In our day, I know that we're old and we're past our time, but one thing that we do, and Robert and I, we're still out here very active in this business. Even though I won the NWA Junior Heavyweight title, you know, Robert and I still are very active together. And this still works every night, guys. We go out there, we do our little thing. I get the guys just to listen to me. You know, not to give me hot spots that you want to do, because I don't do that. What I do is I go out there and I tell a story. And when I tell that story, at the end of that match, when it's over, it goes, you know, everything I've done goes right into giving Robert a hot tag.
Right. That to me is great advice, great words of wisdom, and it couldn't come from a better tag team wrestler. Now, once again, the brand new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. And final question, what are your plans on being the new World Junior Heavyweight Champion? Are you going to tour with the belt? Are you going to go around the world? Are you going to continue to defend it? What's the immediate plans for being the champion?
Well, about my immediate plans, buddy, as I'm the Junior Heavyweight Champion, you know, and not taking away from anybody, not doing things, but my job is out here. I depend on independent wrestling, and that's being the junior NWA junior heavyweight champion. I want to go into these independent promotions and bring back the NWA days. I want to establish NWA again when I go into these areas and into these towns that these guys run. Yes, you know, the night I won, my phone blew up. Everybody asked me, are you bringing? Yes, I'm bringing the belt. Yes, I would defend the title. Yes, I'm going to do everything I can. But my main goal is, Bud, and understand, I know you guys are up in Jersey and y'all more affiliated with the WWE, but down south here, you know, I want to bring back the NWA days. I mean, I can't do it all by myself. I can't make miracles happen, but at least I can set that seed as time goes on for people to understand what the National Wrestling Alliance was about and what I'm about and coming into the towns. And you know, like I said, giving everybody 100% of what I got.
Well, I can really hear that passion in your voice, and I believe you 100% when you say that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Mr. Morton, always a pleasure, and I'd love to have you back on the show once again in the future.
Buddy, I'm telling you, it's a great deal on your show. To all the fans out there, man, don't stop believing. Always dream and dream big. That's what
Absolutely.
Ricky Morton does. Y'all have a good night.
And Mr. Morton, if you ever want to call in just for the hell of it, you know, and BS, if you're bored, just give us a call.
Oh, man. Cool. Thank you. You gentlemen have a wonderful, wonderful night. Bye-bye.
Beautiful. You too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome. We tried to have him on in 2013. It didn't work out because Blog Talk Radio sometimes doesn't have the best service. But that was the legendary tag team wrestler, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton. I'm a big fan of Ricky Morton. You know, he mentioned me up here in Jersey growing up with WWE affiliation and all that stuff. You know, I watched Hogan. I watched Jake the Snake, all those guys. As a kid, I didn't really get to watch the NWA that much. I know I saw it from time to time, but it wasn't like WWE Superstars up here. It wasn't like that show every Saturday morning. It was different. It was at 8 p.m. or whatever, 6:05, something like that, on TBS, the Superstation. And a lot of the times, you know, as a kid, you don't really get to see that. But down south, that's what was the thing. That was in the NWA flourishing. And he's the brand new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. If you can go see Ricky Morton wrestle, especially in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which set this whole interview up, go see him wrestle. He can still go, folks. He said it, 58 years old, the man can still go. I watched him and Robert Gibson have a tag team match with the Briscoe brothers at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And while it was a pretty quick match, they still can do it. They can still do those double team moves. They still can have that fire. And not, you know what, if you go back and you look at the art of being a babyface and just study babyface wrestlers throughout history, not many had more fire than Ricky Morton. So as always, an honor, a privilege to have him on the show. And we're going to kick it off right now. We're going to bring in our co-host for the evening. And this man just recently joined Twitter. Finally, he finally jumped on board and joined the Twitter world. You can follow him at Toph Knows Best. Here is Toph.
The truth shall set you free.
Oh, yeah.
He's a natural hero. What's up, Toph?
Woot. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to everybody. Shout outs to all the keyboard warriors out there that, you know, like to talk trash, that say, oh, Toph, get a Twitter. I got one. Where you at? I'm waiting. Haven't seen anybody yet. It's all good. It's all gravy. And why is it so cold? I blame Glacier. But Goldberg speared him. It's all good.
It's you know what it is, Toph? It's really simple. It's global warming, man. It's science. Science. That's what it is, global warming. It is freaking freezing. You ain't kidding. Ricky Morton, talking to him. First thing he said was, man, is it cold. You know, did you listen to the interview we just had with Ricky Morton? Did you hear it?
Oh, yeah, I heard it. Shout-outs to Mr. Morton for being very positive. I especially like the last thing he said at the end, you know, never give up on your dreams and always aim high. You know, that's great. I always like, I don't want to get too off topic, but it's like when you take a class in school, never aim for a C, aim for an A. Even if you know you're not going to get an A, aim high, because you should always aim a step higher for what you really want. Because if you aim for a C, then you'll get a D. So aim for an A, aim high, sky's limit, and all the other positive stuff.
Definitely, yeah. Don't stop believing, like you said. I'm going to bring in my man who not really a regular too much on the show anymore, but he is here tonight, live and in living color. Here he is.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
John, what's going on, man?
Oh, what's doing? That intro makes me sad.
That intro is your old school intro because I'm
not
sure.
No. Not the music. The whole, like, I'm not on anymore. Like, the reality of that makes me sad.
It's okay. You know what? You're always welcome in the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family. You know that, man. You know that.
No, I know.
All right, and now I'm going to bring in your best buddy, John, and he really needs no introduction.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion.
TLD, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just having a little sick flu problems tonight with the fiance, but otherwise, everything's going pretty good. It's 2014. We are only 330-something days to my marriage. In fact, we should have a countdown every week. I will bring in the exact days of my marriage. I will promote it every week.
All right, you're echoing a little bit, but that's okay. I'm sure you could somehow fix that in your
enjoy
end.
Every one of those days until.
Guys, this is what we're gonna do.
I'm trying.
We're gonna have the year end awards right now, and in just a little bit, we will move on to our WrestleMania 30 booking, fantasy booking, where we're going to come up with our own card, our own scenario, our own lineup for the show. But right now, we're going to have the awards. What I'm going to do, basically, is I'm going to announce the nominees. Some of the awards, there aren't many nominees. Some of the awards, there are no nominees. It was very, very funny voting. A lot of different opinions and everything, especially on a few of the more broader categories that aren't as obvious. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to announce the winner, and then I'm going to kick it to you guys, and you guys can kind of give your opinion, and I'm going to be out of it. I'm not really going to give my opinion on it, but you can give your opinion on the winner, who you thought deserved to win, if you don't agree, so on and so forth. So I'm going to give it to you guys one at a time. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to officially start the second annual Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Year and award show for 2013. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm ready to rock and roll. So first category we're going to go with is the best babyface of 2013, the best babyface. And this one, it's funny that this is the first category because there were really no nominees. There was just one winner. All the voting was exactly the same. And your winner is none other than Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is your winner of Babyface of 2013. TLD, what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan winning this award?
I mean, as far as the pop, the pops, the noise, the fan reaction, I would absolutely agree with that decision by the fans. Daniel Bryan's had a very strong year. He's probably going to be getting most of the awards tonight, which he deserves because he's definitely deserved all the credit. But, yeah, as far as the top guy that people wanted to get behind and people believed in, Daniel Bryan definitely was that this year.
Yeah, he had a big year for sure, no question about it. Toph, man, Daniel Bryan, Babyface 2013, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate choice. The fans love Daniel Bryan. You know, he's the most over guy, even when he's not on the show. He definitely works hard, you know. More power to Daniel Bryan. I got no complaints there.
Let's hear it!
I love that I just played a clip where Daniel Bryan was a heel and was getting booed for chanting yes. Love it. JCB, your thoughts on Daniel Bryan being the 2013 Babyface of the Year?
Yeah, no complaints. Hands down, who else are we going to vote for?
Absolutely. I agree. Literally every vote was Daniel Bryan. There wasn't one different vote. Now we're going to head into the best heel of 2013. There's a little more texture to this one. And your nominees for the best heel of 2013 are CM Punk, probably for his villainous acts against The Undertaker and during Paul Bearer's time of death and all that kind of stuff. So CM Punk is your first nominee. Second is Paul Heyman, who feuded with Punk. Third nominee, Bully Ray. And your fourth, Bray Wyatt. There were multiple votes for each guy. But your winner, with a highly majority vote here, is none other than the former TNA World Champion, Bully Ray. And I think this one's a pretty obvious one as well. TLD, you voted for him. I know you did. Your thoughts on Bully Ray being the heel of the year, my man.
You got to look at it from the entire year, from the idea of the planning of this entire angle and the way they played it out over those vignettes and what he did to Brooke Hogan and Hulk Hogan and fooling everybody. It was just a great storyline. And, you know, going down the line, even after this Aces and Eights is over and he's doing this now very dark character, I'm really loving Bully Ray. And he's definitely the heel guy of the year. It's one guy that you just did not want to like. He was just not liked by anybody. I loved it. I thought it was he had a great year for 2013. His best year, I would say, ever.
Yeah, he had a career resurgence for sure, especially like towards the tail end of 2012. He was really starting to get built back up to being a real solidified single star. But in 2013, he really took the ball and ran with it. Tope, man, Bully Ray is your winner. What are your thoughts?
I understand why Bully Ray would win. I'm actually, believe it or not, going to disagree. If I could pick anybody, it would probably be the Shield. They just kind of ran roughshod doing whatever the fuck they felt like doing, and I thought that makes them great heels. But I understand why fans would vote for Bully Ray. You know, he's really coming to his own. Some wrestlers, just like, they kind of have a resurgence the older they get, and Bully Ray is just kind of one of those guys. It's like wine. The older it gets, the better it is. And, you know, Bully Ray is great. My only beef is the Aces and Eights just got Bully Ray over and everybody else was just sort of there, whereas the Shield, all three of them are pretty much, you know, they're going over. But I can definitely understand why fans would choose Bully. He's definitely great in promos, easily one of the best promo talkers out there, and it was well-deserved. They did the whole thing, you know, tricking Hogan and Brooke and, you know, the usurping of power. So I understand why he won. So congrats to Bully.
Yeah, no question about it. I think in most award shows, he'd probably get the nod, but I think Paul Heyman was also another really good candidate because he was pretty much a douche to CM Punk for the majority of the year. And John, your thoughts on Bully Ray?
Yeah, I'm with Toph on this. I see why he won. I also would have probably went Heyman, but I mean, I see why Bully won. It makes sense that there was about two or three solid weeks after lockdown where he was just ridiculous, and you know, even though it started to phase out, I never agreed with the loss to Saban, you know, and it's good that he had it in 13, you know, see where he goes in 14, you know, so yeah, I get it.
All right, for sure. We're gonna go in.
Do you know who
order.
He is?
Yes, huh? I know who he is. He's Mark. Okay. Who went to St. John's.
Okay. All right, next round we're going to go in a different order here for the next category. I'm going to start with John, then kick it to TLD, and then Toph. So we just switch it up. There's a little bit of a different dynamic here. And we're going to go with Independent Wrestler of the Year. And this was funny because there was the one guy I never even heard of in my life. But the nominees for Independent Wrestler of the Year are Bonesaw, otherwise known as Mike Dennis from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Sammy Callahan, Tommy Dreamer, Kevin Steen, Johnny Gargano, and listen to this guy, Horace the Psychopath. Okay, somebody voted for Horace the Psychopath. I'm not sure who the hell that is, but he is not the winner. The winner of your Independent Wrestler of the Year for 2013 is Kevin Steen, the sick, nasty son of a bitch that one time kicked me directly in the face and has now blocked me on Twitter. He is the winner of your 2013 Independent Wrestler of the Year. JCD, your thoughts on Mr. Kevin Steen?
2012, I would have said definitely. No, I'm not on board with that this year. I'm not. Where's Tony Nese? You know, a guy had a monster year all over the world. Even, you know, Kevin Matthews had a great year. You know, Carlito with all his work in FWE. Yeah, 2012, hands down, but nah, I could probably give you about five or six guys that I would go with over Steen.
You know what? Me too. I agree with you 100%. But as always, the fans voted, and I just tallied up the votes from the emails I got, from the Facebook posts, from the tweets, just tallied them up. And that's how we get the nominees. That's how we get the winners. And Kevin Steen received the most votes. But I agree with you. There were so many great guys who had breakout years in 2013 on the independent scene. Hell, Johnny Gargano has been the DG USA champion for, like, ever, seemingly. He's had, like, a 400-day reign or something. Some on the independent scene, it doesn't happen. I think maybe even more than that, maybe a couple years. Either way, TLD, your thoughts on Kevin Steen being the independent wrestler of the year?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Steen, even though his year was not like last year, I mean, he's probably one of the most recognizable independent pro wrestlers. But who was that one guy that you voted for? Who was that one guy that who had no idea who he was?
Horace the Psychopath.
Yeah, Horace the Psychopath. He's had an amazing year this year, Mr. Horace the Psychopath. He's just been dominant in the independent scene. But Kevin Steen, yeah, I mean, not a bad year. I would say Sami Callihan had a better year, only because now he could have a developmental contract. I think that's the goal for most independent wrestlers, and I think that's an accomplishment of being a top indie guy by getting signed. But that's how I look at it. But, man, the other guy, he definitely should be up there next year. I'm pulling for him in 2014 next year.
I think Horace the Psychopath is a shoo-in for an NXT contract. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Toph.
Screw NXT. He's going to the main roster. He's skipping developmental.
Hotshotted right into the main event of WrestleMania. I don't even know who voted for him, but somebody did. That's why independent wrestling is so fun, because there are these little independent wrestling companies and just these little nook and crannies in America all over the place that there could be one guy who is just a diehard fan of that roster, and we've never heard of him. That's just the reality of it. Now, Toph. Your thoughts on Kevin Steen at Fight Steen Fight on Twitter becoming the 2013 Independent Wrestler of the Year?
Pretty much in agreement with you guys. 2012 was his year, not 2013. But the fans voted for him, so it is what it is.
That's what it's all about. And let's move on to Independent Promotion of the Year. And this one, we're going to do it a little differently because I received a lot of votes, and a lot of these companies got two votes, which tied, but there were just a bunch of them. So I'm going to literally just say that independent wrestling in general is going to get this award. I urge everybody to go out there and check out independent wrestling companies. We've done a lot of stuff with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, which got a couple votes, and I could easily give them the award. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to say everybody gets it. So here it is. Pro Wrestling Syndicate, OTW, which, Jim Molyneux, who we've had on the show, he runs down in South Jersey. Chikara, which is no longer a company that's running right now, but they're kind of coming back with a new company, something along those lines. House of Hardcore, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, and Shimmer. A lot of these received a couple votes, so I'm just going to say everybody gets the award. So multiple promotions get it. But I'm going to ask you guys, if you can pick an independent wrestling promotion, and I'm surprised FWE didn't get a vote because they've been on fire. And they're I don't know if you guys pay attention to their Facebook fan page. It's something I will never understand. Their Facebook fan page, and I talked to Jordan about this. He swears that they are not paying for advertising, but their fan page just gets like 20,000 likes a week lately. I don't get it. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but it's happening. So, John, your thoughts, Independent Wrestling Promotion of the Year.
In all fairness, I haven't been to a PWS show yet, but every time you talk about them, you say nothing but good things about them, and I do want to go to one with you guys. But I'm probably going to go FWE, only because like the three shows I've gone to of theirs have been just phenomenal, and I'm not just saying that because Jordan and AJ and all those guys have been nothing but awesome to us. The cards themselves have just been phenomenal, and it's just a great atmosphere, and so I'm gonna go with them kind of by default.
Yeah, I agree. They had some good shows, some great talent brought in, some original booking, but I'll just never understand how they're getting 20,000 likes a week on Facebook. It just baffles my mind. I don't know what they're doing. TLD, your thoughts, independent promotion of the year?
I really enjoyed PWS this year. We had some great times with PWS. I think they put on a really great show. I mean, compared to some of these other promotions where they advertise a one-name guy and then they try to sell the building out by that one-name guy, whether it be guys like Kevin Nash or you know, anybody that's in the area that will work, Nikolai Volkov, you know, they just don't have the talent other than that behind them. They may have some other guys like Danny Demento, and they might have some other guys out there, but I think that PWS does a great mixture of their new talent with older talent, or even some talent that maybe didn't get the rub that they deserve, and they help put those guys over. You know, I think they're a great promotion, and I do recommend anybody going out there, check it out. Even FWE was a great show, seeing some matches I never thought I'd see, seeing Jeff Jarrett out there. That was a really great time, too, in my roots of Brooklyn, New York. So, you know, I really enjoyed that time. And, yeah, PWS, check it out. You know, on February 22nd, I'm really looking forward to that show, too.
Yeah, we'll be in the house February 22nd. Bret Hart will be there, Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, Mickey James. It's a stacked card. I'm all about PWS. I'm the no-bullshit type of guy, no-nonsense. And if I don't like the independent promotion, I'm not going to go see it. So, but I go to PWS as a fan each and every time, and they've just been great to us, and we enjoy helping promote their shows as much as we can. Toph, your thoughts on independent promotion of the year?
I'm a big fan of FWE. I found out about them by accident because I was really bored, and I was on YouTube, and I saw those funny Stone Cold ET videos, and I thought he was just so hilarious. And then he made a cameo at FWE, and I watched the show, and I enjoyed it. I need to get more into PWS. I know you promote that a lot. I've seen some of their work, too. I'm a big fan of their work. I would really like to enjoy more of a New Japan Pro Wrestling, but due to the time zone differences, it's very difficult to catch their show. But whenever I can watch it, I enjoy it very much. And, you know, overall, I think independent wrestling, there's a lot of markets out there that a lot of fans just don't know about. So, you know, there's a whole wide horizon of companies out there that I think fans should open their eyes to.
Awesome. Yeah, agreed, 100%. And thanks to my buddies, a couple of buddies of mine who I'm going to plug later, I'm going to actually watch that New Japan Wrestle Kingdom show. I started watching it, and it's crazy. That atmosphere is just nuts out there. But, you know, I'll let you guys know next week how that entire five-hour mega show is. So independent pro wrestling, go out, visit your local independent federation, no matter what it is, go check it out, show support, and support indie wrestling all the way. That's what we do here. Here's our next one, and most memorable moment of the year. This one probably had the most different nominations here. We've got a lot of them, and I'm going to just read them all off because it's a trip down memory lane of 2013. So here are your nominees for most memorable moment of the year. Undertaker being powerbombed by the Shield through the table on Raw, on SmackDown. CM Punk covering himself with ashes. Sick moment. The Raw after WrestleMania crowd. Daniel Bryan getting a championship match at SummerSlam. The Mark Henry retirement speech with the swerve. Bray Wyatt's debut with the Wyatt family. Dolph Ziggler's cash-in at that aforementioned WrestleMania after WrestleMania Raw, Triple H turning on Daniel Bryan, and Undertaker sitting up when locked in the Anaconda Vice at WrestleMania. Now, some of these receive multiple votes, but your winner by a hefty margin is the Mark Henry retirement speech. And what a swerve that was, guys. I hope you remember it. Mark Henry was seemingly retiring in the middle of the ring. He had everybody going. It was a perfect moment where somebody is not reading a script, where they just get an idea of what they're going to do and they go out and deliver it the way they want to do it. And Mark Henry evoked a lot of emotion and then turned on John Cena. And, you know, it was just a great, great moment in pro wrestling. So, John, your thoughts, Mark Henry retirement speech, the moment of the year in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I can't lie. I was hooked. That was awesome.
Puppets. CLD, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, what sucks is I couldn't watch that live, but I did, you know, I was hearing about the betrayal, and when I watched it back and I saw it, I was even hooked into it, like, you know, really? He actually did the swerve? Because remember, we were always, you know, being internet fans, we always listened to those feeds, and that was a big feed going on in 2012, and this was going to be his last year. And then I remember the breaking news, Mark Henry's going to retire tonight. And then all of a sudden that swerve happened. I was like, ah, they got everybody, not just, you know, wrestling fans in the crowd, but they got the internet fans. They got everybody. It was a great, great angle. And I remember going, watching Money in the Bank live, how fans were really behind Mark Henry because of just how good that swerve was. So I would say, yeah, that was definitely one of my moments of the year. I would even go with when Bully Ray became part of the Aces and Aces, another good one. I thought it was another good thing this year. Even though a lot of people predicted it happened, I think just seeing it happen was still a moment to remember. But I think there were a lot of great moments, but that one sticks out to me as well.
Yeah, it was the execution of the whole thing, and that Philadelphia crowd, I was there as well, Money in the Bank. They were really behind Mark Henry, and I think that was a bit of the turning point where WWE said, hey, we got a babyface star in our hands right here. So they turned him face. He ended up getting injured again, but hell, you know, Mark Henry is a guy who's had a lot of longevity, a great run, and if there was anything that was one of his maybe top five moments, that could be up there, you know. That moment was tremendous. Toph, your thoughts on Mark Henry's retirement speech swerve?
Yeah, it was a good swerve. No one saw it coming. I liked the little small stuff that Henry did to make it seem more genuine, like when he was retiring and he was talking about his family and some random asshole in the crowd was talking about Mae Young, and Mark Henry was like, no, not Mae Young, dummy, just funny stuff like that. Cena letting Henry hold a title, like it really seemed genuine, and then he hit the World's Strongest Slam. It really fits into his character and stuff. It's kind of sad because when he retires for real, people are going to think he's going to do a swerve again. So,
yeah, man, hopefully he doesn't have to go out there and do it again. Hopefully when he retires for real, it's kind of just like, I like those. I'm a fan of those quiet retirements. They don't, not everybody needs that big deal send off. And I think it would be cool if he maybe just walked out and everybody kind of had the feeling he was retiring or something like that. Here's another. We'll go on to our next one, another award category. And we're going to run this award portion of the show until about 10 o'clock. We'll take a short break, and we're going to go to our WrestleMania booking. But a surprise superstar of the year. And this, to me, is funny because this guy is not surprising. Your nominees are Goldust with multiple nominations, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, Darren Young, and I think the fan who voted for Darren Young was surprised because of Darren Young's revelation in 2013 that he is, in fact, a homosexual. And The Big Show, your winner for Surprise Superstar of the Year is Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan got a lot of votes for this category, and I was surprised because, to me, it's not surprising that he is as good as he is. It's not a shock at all. And we're going to flip the order around a bit. Toph, man, your thoughts on Daniel Bryan being the Surprise Superstar of the Year?
I'm guessing fans don't understand what surprise means. I guess we all look at something and we see it a different way. When I think of Surprise Superstar, I'm thinking of a superstar who, on paper, we really weren't that impressed with or you didn't think much of, but then they end up having a really good year and you're like, oh, well, this person actually has potential. So Daniel Bryan was already way established as a main event guy, and yeah, no surprise for me. For me, a surprise of the year for me would definitely have to be Magnus. I wasn't really hooked on him. I always thought Magnus just was sort of like an upper mid-card guy at best, but he's really changed his look. He's changed his style. He's changed his character. He's improved a lot very quietly over the years, and he looks like a legit world champion. So for me, Magnus overall would have to be the surprise superstar. But an honorable mention definitely goes to Goldust. He's in great shape. So, yeah, but Magnus wins surprise for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Magnus had a great year, and it was a surprise because in past years, Magnus was kind of like on the show and then he was off the show. He was pretty much a part-time TNA superstar at certain stretches. But, yeah, his 2013 was truly a breakout and a surprise, and he basically ended the year, you know, in real life, not on TV, but he ended the year as the TNA champion. So, you know, it was a big year for him. TLD, your thoughts on Daniel Bryan being the surprise superstar of the year?
Yeah, I don't think, I agree with what Tobe said about surprise. I think it's someone on paper that you felt like was not going to, you know, either have a good year or you didn't even think about him back when 2013 first started as a surprise guy. So that to me would be my definition of it, where he stood out. I think Antonio Cesaro for me stood out a lot better this year. I think he's better in the Un-Americans and doing some of the moves he's been doing. to me, impressed me, because you know I've been a little hard on him over the last, you know, while, thinking he really wasn't much anything. But the un-American angle to me makes him something. Also, I Goldust would have to be up there because he was not even considered in 2013. I remember, Jay, we went to a show where we got autographs with him, and I think that was like the end of 2012. I forget exactly when we saw him, but we saw him in the Honky Tonk Man, and I got his autograph and spoke to him. And, you know, to think now he's now on WWE television as one of the tag team champions is pretty big. So that to me is a surprise.
Yeah, we saw Goldust wrestle Sami Callihan, and he won the match, but he really put Sami Callihan over as a guy that should be in WWE at some point in time. And guess what? Only a few months later, Sami Callihan is signed. He's now Solomon Crowe down in NXT. But, yeah, Goldust had a great one. But, yeah, for Daniel Bryan to be the surprise superstar, I got to agree with Toph. I don't think people really understand the definition. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think people just saw Bryan's name and figured to vote for him. I'm going to give you about two or three. While I agree with the Goldust thing, I'm going to give you two or three. One, Curtis Axel. No one can tell me they saw Michael McGillicuddy doing anything this year. Even though that run only lasted about 4 or 5 months, whatever, you know what? He's reestablished. He has a role. You know, he kind of matters again. You know, he's got wins over Cena, over Triple H. You know, although they were in the beginning, he had a good year. I agree with Toph on Magnus. And I'm going to give you one other one. Dixie Carter, who I would have never thought she had this side in her, and the ability to pull it off to the point where she is probably the most hated person on TV right now. You know what? I thought she was too goody-goody and too much of a mark, to be honest with you, to pull this off. And I'm actually starting to become a fan of her work and Dixieland and all the double innuendo stuff with her. You know, oh, come take a ride on the Dixie train. You know,
it's
starting to work.
He's riding the Dixie train. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think John wants to take a ride in the Dixie train. But, yeah.
Don't we really all?
Oh, yeah.
She is hot.
She definitely is hot. I agree that she has embraced this character like I didn't think she would, and she's doing a pretty good job. For a while with her and her promos with AJ Styles, there was a little too much Southern twang for me to really be involved, but, she's got a long run ahead of her, obviously, because she owns the damn company. All right, let's move along here. We're under time constraints, so I might cut out a couple of these. But you can find the entire list later tonight on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, a website which you should be visiting on a daily basis. Anyway, bookmark it, visit it, and enjoy great articles from fans and writers alike from all over the world. So check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for the full list of awards. We're going to get down to the meat of the award show right now, and we're going to go with Rookie of the Year. There weren't that many nominations, but the nominees are Rockstar Spud, which is shocking to me, but Rockstar Spud, Fandango, Bray Wyatt, Big E Langston, and the three members known as The Shield. And your winner for Rookie of the Year in the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse 2013 Year-End Awards is Big E Langston. Big E Langston is your winner. He had a lot of votes for this one and definitely had a great 2013. Very consistent, very hardworking. Went from heel to face, and he's really over. We'll start out with Toph, man. Your thoughts on Big E Langston being the Rookie of the Year?
I disagree with that. He's improving, but I wouldn't call him a Rookie of the Year. I'm giving that to The Shield. That was clearly their year. Maybe Big E can, nothing against him. I just wouldn't call him Rookie of the Year. Shout-outs to Rockstar Spud. He's very good in the ring, but he's small and he's scrawny. He has that Spike Dudley look, so you can't really take him seriously. So relegating him to kind of a weasel-ish role is the best way you can use him. He's actually pretty hilarious on Twitter. I follow him. He was like the first wrestler I followed. And, he's pretty good. I'm not trying to do a comparison thing here, but in my opinion, that's one of the things that the Authority lacks in the storyline in WWE. It lacks that kiss-ass, annoying weasel. Brad Maddox sort of had that role, then they just sort of forgot about him. Now they're just reintroducing him. I just love rock stars, but he has really funny segments with Sting backstage every week. So, you know, had he debuted earlier, maybe he could have won. I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll do in 2014. Again, congrats to Big E for winning. I don't agree with him being Rookie of the Year. I'm giving that to The Shield.
All right. Rockstar Spud to me was kind of an interesting nomination from somebody, but I do kind of get it. He really didn't do much in 2013. I think 2014 we'll see a lot more Rockstar Spud. TLD, your thoughts on Big E Langston being the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, Big E made, I mean, he did get introduced in the beginning of the year. If you remember the first Raw, he came out with John Cena. You know, he made a pretty big impact on the very first time we saw him. And then going to now where he's the Intercontinental Champion, he has the top second singles title in the company right now. They're putting a lot of steam behind him. You know, he's not a bad choice. He's not really a bad choice at all, actually, if you really think about it, from where he's been all year. But I don't think he stands out as much as some other people have. Like, The Shield, you know, they didn't have a full 2012. So looking at it back this year, you know, becoming the tag team champions, taking out The Undertaker, having a match at WrestleMania and winning, you know, I would say, yeah, I mean, they did have probably the strongest year out of everybody, only because they're people don't even consider them rookies because they just look so strong that you almost don't even consider them rookies.
Yeah, they had a great year as well. And I think that 2014, you'll see them branch out into single stars. And I think all three of them have main event potential for the future for sure. But Big E Langston definitely has big things coming in 2014. No question about that. And John, your thoughts on Rookie of the Year for 2013?
Well, while I really like Big E, I think my vote's going to be a little biased and a little obvious. But my vote for Rookie of the Year is John Luca, to be honest with you. I agree. I think it should have been The Shield. Langston is taking off. He's turning into a star. But, yeah, I mean, The Shield were they were just amazing this year.
In case you don't know, John was talking about his son who was born in 2013.
9 months old on Saturday.
Beautiful, man. Time flies, huh? Time is really flying.
You're telling me, man.
Oh, jeez. All right. Let's continue here. The wrestling pay-per-view of the year, and this one was not unanimous, but pretty close. We've got Money in the Bank, the Royal Rumble, TNA Lockdown, WrestleMania 29, SummerSlam, and Payback, which is an underrated show. Payback was actually pretty damn good this year, solid card. But your winner for the pay-per-view of the year and a pretty – oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Here's one more, Slammiversary. I kind of mixed that up with SummerSlam, my nominees. But Slammiversary got a vote as well. But the winner is SummerSlam. A lot of people love SummerSlam, got a lot of votes. Two gigantic matches that were really, really good. I just recently watched CM Punk and Brock Lesnar again, and that match was awesome. They just beat the living hell out of each other. And sometimes you need that in a wrestling match to really make it stand out. But SummerSlam is the winner. And, John, what are your thoughts on SummerSlam being the pay-per-view show of the year?
Yeah, I see that. I could definitely see that. Want to just go one other route. Extreme Rules quietly got left behind this year, but Extreme Rules was a good show too. Payback was phenomenal. But yeah, SummerSlam, that works.
Yeah, definitely. Toph, your thoughts? Pay-per-view of the year.
I don't even remember any of the pay-per-views in 2013. They were all pretty forgettable. So I have nothing to say here. If SummerSlam wins, I guess it was good.
Okay. TLD, your thoughts?
I love the positivity from Tope. That was awesome. So I think SummerSlam was definitely the best show. I was invested mostly in that show. Payback, another good option. It's sad that WrestleMania wasn't even mentioned as one of the options. I think that
it was.
It's not,
it
I mean,
was.
Yeah,
I mentioned WrestleMania. I mentioned it. It was there.
Well, I mean, I think it's sad that we're not even talking about WrestleMania being one of the main matches or one of the main shows of the pay-per-views. And we were there, you know. I mean, nothing compares to being at WrestleMania, but, you know, overall, SummerSlam was just overall from top to bottom from the – I mean, people consider that one the best SummerSlam since 2002, you know, so that's a long time. And I would agree that that was the best SummerSlam in a long time.
Yeah, no question about it. So SummerSlam's your winner. Let's go with Match of the Year. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to find the whole list, including Feud of the Year, Commentator of the Year, Promotion of the Year, TV Show of the Year, and much more. The entire list will be up tonight at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We've just got a couple more to announce right here on the show, and this one is Match of the Year. Your nominees are AJ Styles versus Bully Ray at Bound for Glory, the Rhodes Brothers versus The Shield at Battleground, CM Punk versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 29, Sami Zayn versus Antonio Cesaro on NXT, 2 out of 3 falls match. That match was awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. That was a great match. CM Punk versus John Cena on the Raw leading up to WrestleMania, where Cena put his WrestleMania title shot on the line. Another great match that kind of got lost in the shuffle, I think. John Cena versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. And Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. And the winner receiving the most votes, this might have been one of our, this was probably our closest in the entire award show, is John Cena versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. And I think the reason that won is because the match was phenomenal. Daniel Bryan got the clean win, and just what happened afterwards, where you're able to turn two huge baby faces heel in one moment and set your stage for the future in that one match, it was just gigantic. So let's kick it to Toe first. Your thoughts on Cena versus Bryan being the match of the year?
Wow. Clearly, you guys are more impressed in SummerSlam than I was. I thought it was okay. I wouldn't call it match of the year. Cena's had better matches. Bryan's had better matches. But I guess I can see why fans would vote it. I mean, Cena did lose clean. And, you know, you had to cash in afterwards. I can think of better matches. I can't think of anything right now. Actually, now that I think about it, I enjoyed the tag team matches this year. I enjoyed the Rhodes Brothers against the Shield at Battleground. I enjoyed the Shield against the Usos in that Money in the Bank pre-show match. I enjoyed that. The fans were really into it. Actually, now that I think about it, a lot of the best matches of the year were tag team matches. But, hey, that's what the fans voted for. I really wasn't impressed that much by that match. I thought it was okay. There was a really horrible spot where, like, Bryan was going for a Hurricanrana and, like, Cena caught him. I don't know what Cena was trying to do. I think he realized he didn't know how to counter the move, and then, like, he dropped Bryan right on his head. And it was a really ugly spot. You could see Bryan was dazed. I would not call that match of the year. But, hey, fans voted for it, so congrats, I guess.
If you go back and watch old-school wrestling matches, they were never, like, 100% crisp. There was always that awkwardness to them. It, basically, every match from, like, the 80s into, like, the late 90s, there was a little bit of awkwardness. So every once in a while when a spot goes awry, I'm not too worried about it. I don't think the best match is always considered a flawless match where everything goes perfectly. I kind of like when something goes wrong every now and then. But, yeah, I think it's the overall of what happened. And you're right, Toph, tag team matches. There were so many six-man tag matches that have fallen under the radar that people are just forgetting about that were really, really, really huge. So, yeah, that's the thing, under the radar type deal. We'll go to John. Bryan versus Cena, what are your thoughts on that being match of the year?
I agree with you. I think it was more about the end result than it was the actual body of work. I think as far as body of work goes, I agree with Toph. Both Rhodes Brothers versus the Shield matches were phenomenal. There was that 12-man on Raw right after or right before Survivor Series. That was really good. Zayn Cesaro was just ridiculous. I've seen that. That was just unbelievable. I would go Zayn Cesaro.
Yeah, that match was so good. Fans, if you haven't seen that match, go out of your way to see it. It was awesome. TLD, your thoughts, Cena versus Bryan as match of the year for 2013.
Great, definitely a great match. I really enjoyed, there was a lot of investment into that match. Fans were behind it. I think it sold the pay-per-view, at least in my opinion. A lot of people say that the pay-per-view didn't sell, but I think, you know, it was just a wonderful show. I thought the Usos against Shield in the opener of Money in the Bank was a terrific tag team match. The Rhodes Brothers, definitely, that's one of my picks for match of the year. Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, there were so many good matches this year, I feel, that, you know, even there were a lot of great Raw matches this year with the one that we had mentioned, John Cena versus CM Punk was a great Raw match. And we got very spoiled, I feel, this year of some really great, amazing matches that if you went back and watched, if you bought like the DVD of the best pay-per-view matches of this year or the best like Raws of this year, we had some strong wrestling this year, and I was very impressed by everybody who performed.
Agreed, yeah, wrestling was definitely up in 2013 as far as in-ring action. I feel like you can tell significantly that Triple H is now in control of talent because just the there's been a focus on the matches and the in-ring work compared to the backstage segments and so on and so forth. There are a lot more of those just Renee Young holding a microphone backstage segments than there are really long, drawn-out skit-type things anymore, which is definitely a step in the right direction. So here we go. Going on to the next. So we're going a little over 10 o'clock. No big deal. We'll fit our entire WrestleMania 30 booking in shortly. But I've got a couple left. We're going to go three more categories, and then we'll take a little break. But here we go. Tag Team of the Year. Your nominees are Team Hell No. It seems like an eternity since Brian and Kane were a tag team, but Team Hell No, The Shield, The Usos, Bad Influence, and get this, guys. Listen to this one. The Global Green Gangsters. Yes, the Global Green Gangsters were nominated, and I have a feeling it's the same person that nominated Horace the whatever from earlier, Horace the Psychopath, yeah. So the Global Green Gangsters were nominated, but the winner, Tag Team of the Year, is The Shield. The Shield wins, the team of Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, they are your winners. And Toph, your thoughts on The Shield picking up Tag Team of the Year?
Disagree with this one. Great tag team, though. Bad Influence, they were good in 2012. 2013, not so much. They were still good, but not as relevant as they were. Team Hell No, I'm not even sure how they made the list. They were mostly a thing in 2012, and they were kind of there at early 2013, but sort of broke up in the early portions. I guess they can count. Overall, I'm giving it to the Usos, personally. I think that they've really come into their own. With the face paint, with the War Tribal intro, with the Uso chant, they're consistently getting more pops everywhere they go. I think it's criminal that they still haven't been tag team champions. They've basically been the longest reigning legit tag team on the roster like in 4 years. So I think they're clearly the best tag team there. The Shield as a group, I think they're great, but I wouldn't call Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns the best tag team. But hey, you know, the fans voted for them, so congrats to them.
Yep, fans voted on all of these. John, your thoughts on The Shield being Tag Team of the Year?
Yeah, that works for me, although I'd give an honorable mention to the Young Bucks.
Oh, man, yeah, the Young Bucks. Man. If you haven't seen the Young Bucks wrestle lately, they've completely changed what they do. Not their in-ring style, it's still pretty much the same, but they are just cocky, arrogant sons of bitches now, and it's so funny, and they act like they're in the clique. They literally act like they're Shawn Michaels and Triple H. It makes me laugh every time I see those guys. Yeah, they had a great year. And NJPW, Tag Team Champions and all that. Young Bucks are awesome. TLD, your thoughts, The Shield, Tag Team of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, as a group, I feel they were the better. As a tag team, even though I was happy they won the tag team titles from Team Hell No, because they definitely needed to go forward with them. Cody Rhodes and Dustin Reynolds, Coldust were definitely the Team of the Year on my end. I think they were not even foreseen in the beginning of the year, and to see them at the end of the year as strong as they are. It was kind of like what Daniel Bryan and Kane were last time, that they were the tag team last year, and again, they formed out of nowhere and, you know, out of a feud, and this was kind of the same deal where a feud brought Goldust in and they became a good tag team. But the Shield definitely are a great team. I mean, as far as the threesome or just the two guys, they were definitely a strong tag team, and they were the right people to have the tag belts at the time. So they had them for most of 2013. So you cannot give them the tag team honorable for the best team of the year.
Yeah, there you go, man. Okay, we're going to head into the two basically top awards, and that is given to best female and best male wrestler of the year in 2013. And we're going to start it off with your best female wrestler of the year. Your nominees for best female wrestler of the year are Paige from NXT, and she had an awesome year in 2013. Sure, she'll make the roster in 2014 or 2015. She's still really young. Gail Kim and AJ Lee, but it was huge voting for this one. in AJ Lee's favor. So AJ Lee is the Female Wrestler of the Year. Toph, man, your thoughts on AJ winning Female Wrestler of the Year?
You already know how I feel about her. Overrated and overhyped. But the fans voted for her, so, yep.
All right. TLD, your thoughts?
I think AJ Lee, because she had the belt the longest this year, she probably deserves that honor, I think, more than anybody. I don't know. I really can't say too much about the TNA knockouts. I think the division kind of really took a back turn this year. Although Gail Kim, I thought, did pretty good this year when she came in and did some of the stuff they were doing. I forget, Tarrant, when she faced Taryn Terrell, that was actually another match of the year candidate. I forgot, totally mentioned that one. That was a good one, too. But AJ, I think with her pipe bomb and having her be the champion of the Divas as of right now, I think she deserves it. You know, she's been the champion the longest. How can you not pick her?
Yeah, and she really has a passion for the business. You can kind of see it. She'll be around for a long time, and she's been great. She's been very consistent over the past year.
But the fans voted for her.
That's what it's all about, yeah. John, your thoughts on Female Wrestler of the Year for 2013, AJ Lee. John, you there? John? John. Okay, I think John is tending to the baby. I put him on hold, but that's cool. So AJ Lee is the 2013 Female Wrestler of the Year, and now the wrestler, the Male Wrestler of the Year. Your nominees are John Cena, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Bully Ray. And there was a lot of nominees, and that's awesome, but overwhelming majority gave it to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, the Male Wrestler of the Year. TLD, your thoughts on Daniel Bryan locking up this prestigious award?
Yeah, I mean, definitely was the year of Daniel Bryan. I find it so amazing that CM Punk is not even a winner of any of these categories. And last year he was the Wrestler of the Year, but well-deserving so. I think Daniel Bryan definitely was the Wrestler of the Year from where he started 2013 and where he is now. Definitely the most improved. I feel like definitely got the bigger spot. The emphasis of the company is obviously on him. And great for Daniel Bryan, and he deserves it.
Yeah, CM Punk did win one, but we didn't announce it. It will be up at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com later, so check it out to find out. And Toph, your thoughts on Daniel Bryan, Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, congrats to Bryan. I'm surprised AJ Styles wasn't nominated for any of this. He had a great year. He totally reformatted his gimmick. He changed his style. He got a new submission and got a new theme song. It was very dark. Had a lot of good matches, too. So I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for anything. But I hope he does well in Ring of Honor. I hope he, what's his name? I think Roderick Strong took a Styles Clash really wrong. He, like, landed the wrong in his head. I hope he gets better. But, yeah, congrats to Bryan and stuff. So happy voting and stuff.
AJ Styles had a nomination for Match of the Year against Bully Ray at Bound for Glory. But, yeah, I'm surprised, too. I mean, if you give me a top 10 wrestlers of the year type of list to make, he's on, AJ Styles is on it just because his career resurrection, kind of. And so that's it for the PWP Awards. I'm going to let John take care of the baby for a minute. We'll come back with his WrestleMania 30 card, but we're going to take a short break. So we're going to give our WrestleMania 30 cards at the end of this quick commercial break. But before we go to break, I just want to mention something to you guys, and that is the power of audiobooks. I want to tell you that you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the entire internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 150,000 titles. Users can purchase individual books or for real savings, can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Sign up now for a free 30-day trial and check it out at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Don't forget the /PWP radio so you can get your free trial and audiobook today. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Also, I want to tell everybody to check out the Shining Wizards podcast on iTunes. They're buddies of mine. They helped me out over the weekend with something, and They're awesome. Check them out. Shining Wizards Podcast. They're going to send me a commercial soon, and we'll have them on the show as well. So definitely check out the Shining Wizards Podcast. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to my friends over at Wrestle Reaction, Frank Manzo and Joe Omega. They actually broke the news tonight of Hulk Hogan being backstage at the SmackDown tapings in Philadelphia. That's actually really, really big news. So I'd like to give a shout-out to the Wrestle Reaction Show. And please keep it here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, and we will be right back with our WrestleMania 30 Fantasy Booking Show. Please stay tuned.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg. This is the One Girl Revolution.
What's up? This is the Friday Night Delight, FKA John Morrison, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Hey, we're back here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Thank you so much for staying tuned. here on the show. Sorry about the little audio soundbite mess up that happens from time to time here on Blog Talk Radio, but no problem. We just keep on moving forward. I want to tell everybody to check out DDP Yoga. If you've never done DDP Yoga, I highly recommend it. I'm a big gym rat. I'm always working out. I'm always exercising. And I just started DDP Yoga, and I love it. I did it for one day today, and my joints already feel better. So I'm saying definitely check out what Diamond Dallas Page has done. He's saving lives all over the world. So please check out DDP Yoga and, you know, support DDP, man. He's trying to do something good for you, the wrestling fans out there. It's geared towards you. There are certain things within DDP Yoga that will completely draw you in, including some really, really hot females. So if you're into that. So, yeah, DDP Yoga, check it out. Now, here we go. We're going to go with our WrestleMania booking show. We did this last year, and it was pretty fun. Oh, yeah. Okay, so WrestleMania, that got us in the mood a little bit. WrestleMania 30, coming up right around the corner. It's going to be a huge show, and here's why. It is a milestone for WWE, getting 30 years of one show. It's practically unprecedented in wrestling. I don't know if there's any other wrestling show that has been annual for 30 years. I could be wrong. There could be some obscure NWA show that is, but, you know, who knows. WrestleMania 30 is taking place in New Orleans at the Superdome, or whatever they call it now, the Mercedes-Benz Center, whatever, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, something like that. But the biggest part of it is the WWE Network is being announced tomorrow night, and it is going to have a big impact on WrestleMania this year because the rumors are circulating that you'll be able to get WrestleMania included with your subscription to the WWE Network, meaning you won't have to pay that $60 to watch it in high definition, which is awesome. So that's a great move, a risky move by WWE. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see if that even happens. However, we know they want to put on a quality show, and the speculation, guys, is running rampant. The speculation is everywhere. I'm guilty of it because I just enjoy it. I think it's fun. But here's where we speculate, and we give our dream cards for WrestleMania 30 using anybody you want. If you want to have the scenario where AJ Styles makes a jump and beats The Undertaker for the streak or something, do it. Go for it. Just think outside the box. Do whatever you want. You got a full world of talent to look at. So I'm going to start it off with Toph, man. Do you have your WrestleMania 30 card ready to roll?
Yeah, my card is incomplete, but I'll explain it later.
Okay, yeah. If you want to you want to start it now or what?
Yeah, sure. You're right. I can go through my stuff.
Yeah,
All right. So basically, I don't have any main event stuff on my card. I'm not concerned with the main event because there's going to be other guys on this call that will talk about their main events. What I'm concerned with is the mid-card because I've been saying this many times in the past, WrestleMania's lack of a solid mid-card is one of the reasons why so many fans out there have really just not been feeling these previous WrestleManias. It doesn't have a solid mid-card. It's like they have 3 to 4 solid, strong matches and everything else is just filler. So in my fantasy booking, what I'm doing is I'm just focusing on the mid-card. That's really what all my stuff is. Some of these are good ideas, and some of these are just kind of like, I don't know. So my first match is Wade Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler, or should I say Bad News Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler. The way I book this match is Wade Barrett comes out every week, and, you know, he does his Bad News thing. I think it's crap. But let's turn the negative into a positive here. Why not have Wade Barrett come out and have him call out the insecurities of certain wrestlers on the roster? You know, why not have Ziggler return? Like, I know he got a concussion. Let's just assume that his concussion heals quickly. Why not have Wade Barrett interrupt Dolph Ziggler and just say, you know, how you used to be a world champion, but you fell off and, you know, you're not in the main event anymore? And just small stuff, you know, kind of like how with the Cody Rhodes Big Show feud at WrestleMania 28, how Cody Rhodes kept showing, you know, embarrassing moments that happened to the Big Show at WrestleMania. Just have Wade Barrett just do little small jabs every week, which eventually leads to a Ziggler-Wade Barrett match. Dolph Ziggler has yet to have a singles match at WrestleMania. Wade Barrett has yet to have a singles match at WrestleMania, so it can be both. It can be positive and do something for both of them. That would be my first match. My second match is Seth Rollins versus Christian. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, wow, that's really random. Well, that's exactly what I'm aiming for. You see, Christian and Seth Rollins have one thing in common. They're both the guy that everybody sort of ignored. When everyone talks about The Shield, they talk about Dean Ambrose, or they talk about Roman Reigns. No one really talks about Seth Rollins. And if you go back, if you remember the days of The Brood, everyone knew that Edge was going to be like a top star in the future. And the whole point of The Brood was to get Gangrel over. But Christian was just there. No one really thought that he would do anything or really have any type of longevity. So you have two very underrated, underappreciated athletes, and you can have these two feud each other. Christian's basically calling out Seth Rollins. And if you remember, this makes sense in story anyway, because it was The Shield that took out Christian kayfabe, and Edge told Christian to, you know, when he comes back, to take out The Shield. So why not have Christian feud with Seth Rollins? This way it can be Seth Rollins' way of proving himself to the WWE Universe that he should be taken seriously, and it's Christian's way of getting on the card, because let's be honest, with the World Heavyweight Championship gone, he can't realistically challenge for the WWE Championship. So this is my second mid-card match. My third mid-card match is for the United States Championship, Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns. Dean Ambrose has been United States Champion for I don't know how many months, and like everybody keeps forgetting because he never defends that title. The only way to rectify this is by having him feud against Roman Reigns. It makes perfect sense. Dean Ambrose is the United States Champion. He's proclaimed himself several times to be the only member of the Shield that has a title, which basically indirectly says he's the best. Eventually, Roman Reigns will turn babyface, and, you know, when that happens, his first victim can be Dean Ambrose. It's the best way to rectify Dean Ambrose for not defending that title. It's basically like, I mean, we all know that he's going to get a Batista babyface turn anyway, so why not have him beat Dean Ambrose for it? That way they can, you know, have a decent feud over the U.S. title, and you can finally get the U.S. title on the WrestleMania card. The U.S. title has not been on WrestleMania in years. In fact, the last time it was on the card, I believe it was WrestleMania 23 with Benoit and MVP, and because of the Benoit tragedy, WWE acts like he doesn't exist. So I think you would have to count, I think JBL versus Benoit, I think they fought, I think it was 22? I could be 22. Wrong. I don't know. Yeah, all I know 22. Yeah, 22. All I know is the U.S. Championship does not get defended at WrestleMania at all. I don't care what anyone says. If a title of a respective division cannot be defended at the biggest show of the year, that tells me that you don't care about this division. And so my card is about the mid-card. Now let's focus on the tag team scene. I think that we could have a tag team turmoil in the pre-show. I have the Usos, the Primetime Players, the Real Americans, Air Boom, Kofi Kingston, and Evan Bourne. You know, have Evan Bourne return at the Royal Rumble, have them be a tag team, and Los Matadores, you know, have them in a pre-show, or if not a pre-show, you could do it in the opener. I'm just being realistic here. I know this is fantasy, but being realistic, this is more likely to be a pre-show match. Get those five teams. That's their way of getting on the card. And the winner of this turmoil basically fights the Road Brothers for the tag team championships later on and in the show. And this can be, you know, I mean, the tag team titles were defended last year, Team Hell No against Dolph Ziggler and Biggie Langston. So the tag team division is facing a resurgence. It's getting good again. It's getting great again. So let's keep the momentum going and let's have those belts defended every year. I don't really think it matters. I mean, I would prefer to see the Usos win, but, you know, I can see the Real Americans win as well, you know, just because a face versus a heel team makes sense. But I would love to see the Usos against the Road Brothers, because one of my favorite memories as a wrestling fan was seeing the Steiner Brothers against Harlem Heat fighting for the titles in WCW, two legit brother tag teams, great chemistry. And the last match I have, now this is really random. I'm sorry, I have two more matches. The next match is The Miz versus R-Truth. Now, this is random. The reason I paired this matchup is because I actually enjoyed Awesome Truth. I thought they were a good heel tag team, and it was cut short, unfortunately. And I think that the story for this match is, you know, R-Truth, he's taken Xavier Woods under his wing, you know, and I think the story you can do here is basically Miz is – They're very confused with Miz right now. I don't know if he's heel, tweener, face. But the story here is Miz basically telling Truth that taking someone under your wing isn't really going to help you. It's going to hurt you. And Miz can just go back and mention how he took Daniel Bryan under his wing. And eventually Daniel Bryan became more over than he was. So this is sort of like the Miz telling R-Truth that by taking Xavier Woods under your wing, you could potentially be screwing yourself over. So it's kind of one of those feuds where Miz is trying to get Truth to see the light, and eventually this is going to lead to Truth turning heel and then them reforming Awesome Truth later on that year. And, you know, Xavier Woods can go on to be a single star. And my last singles match, this is random, I have Sheamus versus Bray Wyatt. Only because, even though I don't like Sheamus, kids love him, so he's got to be on the card somehow. So why not have him fight Bray Wyatt? I think Bray Wyatt versus John Cena is kind of unrealistic at this point. But, you know, I think him fighting Sheamus is cool. You know, that would be good something to do. So that's my card right now. I don't have any world titles, anything with Taker or Daniel Bryan or any of that, because I know you guys, well, you know, you'll have your ideas there. So as you can see, my card is just basically focused on the mid-card. That's really it.
I dig it, man. I really dig it. I have some similar ideas as you. But focusing on the mid-card is crucial at WrestleMania, and here's why. You know, last year at WrestleMania 29, they did things a little bit differently, and they had it was a heavy wrestling show. The wrestling was really good from top to bottom. They didn't have any backstage segments, any corny stuff really at all. It was all wrestling from the opening bell to the end. But they had their top three matches in a row, whereas most years they kind of spread them out a little bit throughout the card, maybe having one big match to kick it off and one in the middle, one at the end. However they do it, it's usually a little bit different. They have a lot of big possibilities this year, some really, really big possibilities with all these different intangibles involved, the way that certain guys are healed, certain guys are faced. So the mid-card, in my opinion, is really, really crucial because I think that mid-card is going to be spread out, actually, throughout the show. I really do. I usually don't like booking it that way, and I'm not doing it in my fantasy version, but in reality, I think it's going to be spread out. So a lot of those matches you said, I could see them being maybe co-main events in the technical form of the word going on right before the main event. But, yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome fantasy booking. I like it. TLD, do you have your card ready for WrestleMania 30?
Do I have my card ready? Of course I have it ready. I'm TLD. All right, so opening up the show, we are going to have the finally anticipated match that will open WrestleMania on YouTube, which will be Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara. So we will finally have the mask versus mask match. I'm hoping that they kind of push it that way. Sin Cara's getting some TV time. You know, so, and by the way, this year's going to be kind of rough. I mean, I had to put some people off the show that I didn't even include, which was tough. But WrestleMania, to me, should not have every single person on the show. I know they always try to give people a payday, but to be honest, the best of the best get on the show. Then I have a tag team ladder match. You remember those? It will be the Real Americans who will be the tag team champions by then. Against the Wyatt family, against the Usos, and against, listen to this one, the New Age Outlaws. I put them in this match because they are part of the company. So to me, they could do it if they wanted to. So I had that match being a part of it because I think the tag team division has been strong, and why not bring back the concept of a ladder match for the tag team wrestling? And I think these teams would be a good mix for that. Next up, Cody Rhodes against Goldust. And the only reason why is because Goldust's contract is coming to an end. Maybe they'll have them tag team at WrestleMania, but I think seeing a match between them, we've only seen them fight in Rumbles. That's the only time we've ever had a one-on-one match. I think it'd be great to see Cody and Goldust with a special referee, their own father be the referee. I think there's a lot of emotion that can get into that match. And I would love to see it. The Shield will fight in a triple threat match for the United States Heavyweight Championship of the World. That's right, the U.S. Championship of the World. It will be all the Shield guys against each other. I think that's where they're headed. And I think the Shield will pull off a great triple threat match for WrestleMania. Next up, the Beast, Brock Lesnar, against Batista. Because I do not believe we've ever seen that match, at least from what I recall. So that would be something I definitely would love to see, Brock Lesnar versus Batista. That would be really cool to see. For the Intercontinental title, Big E Langston against Bad News Barrett. I think Bad News Barrett is being very – I'm having a great time watching Bad News Barrett doing his Bad News stuff. And I think he would get back into – the WWE title picture by being part of this match and being having a good feud with Biggie Langston. Next up, CM Punk against Triple H, because it seems they're going that route anyway. But a lot of fans are expecting it, but if I was, I would love to see that match one more time, but this time Triple H is the heel, CM Punk is the face, there's no face versus face. I think it's going to be a clear-cut heel versus face match. For the WWE World Championship, Randy Orton against the Royal Rumble winner, Daniel Bryan, with Bray Wyatt in his corner. And I think even though Daniel Bryan might walk into this match as a kind of a tweener, I think that the fans will be behind him, and I think he will betray Bray Wyatt at the end to go forward as those two fighting for the WWE World Championship. And the main event, which should happen at least, if this match does not happen while The Undertaker is not around, I can't, it'd be shocking to me, but The Undertaker versus John Cena, just because John Cena, to me, is the only one that if he beat The Undertaker, it would be believable. And I would be shocked, floored that that would happen. But to me, that is the only time The Undertaker has a real threat to him. And that would be my WrestleMania card.
Really like it, Will. Definitely solid from top to bottom. Fit a lot of people on it. As you said, it's impossible nowadays. Even with having a four-hour mega super show and doing bell-to-bell wrestling to fit everybody on the card. I mean, even at WrestleMania 29, they had to boot the intergender tag team match that they did at the end. With,
yeah,
I
mean, think
know,
about it. I have no Divas match on the show. I don't have Big Show on the show. I don't even have Sheamus. Alberto Del Rio. I don't even have those guys on the card because I couldn't find a feud where people would be invested in. Right now, Big Show kind of got his regeneration into with Brock Lesnar, but right now I think this card would satisfy me as a booker, but also satisfy me as a fan.
Yeah, definitely a good card. That's the beauty of dream cards, man. There's so many ways you can go, so many different directions. All right, I'm going to give I would give John's card, but I really – I'm not sure if I can access it right now. He had to go tend to the baby and stuff, but I'm going to try to pull up his card. But in the meantime, once again, please check out our Pro Wrestling Powerhouse t-shirts by accessing prowrestlingtees.com/PWP. If you check out prowrestlingtees.com/PWP, you can buy one of our shirts and help support the show so we can do it for free for you. Because if you don't, we might have to just, you know, pack our bags and go home, and you know that we don't want to do that. So please check us out at wrestlingtees.com/PWP. Okay, I'm going to give John's card since he had to go take care of some stuff, and then I'll do mine. So John JCD DiMaselli's WrestleMania card is, starting with the pre-show, he's got a tag team turmoil for the championships, kind of like how Toph did. He's got the Wyatt family as the champions. That's Luke Harper and Eric Rowan versus the Primetime Players, the Usos, the Real Americans, Los Matadors, R-Truth and Xavier Woods. Typical pre-show match, he says, you know. The Divas Championship. He's got AJ Lee defending the Divas title against Karma, of all people. Karma, she, formerly known as Awesome Kong. She, Amazing Kong, too. She's not currently on the roster, but that's his choice. He said if Karma doesn't come back, he'd put the debuting Paige in the spot so she debuts at WrestleMania. He's got a 20-man Battle Royal, and winner gets a future world title opportunity, and he has just about everybody in it and basically doesn't give a winner. So, but the guys in it he has are like Del Rio, Langston, Big Show, Henry, RVD, Wade Barrett, Ziggler, Sandow, Axel, Brodus Clay, Ryback, Booker T, The Miz, Christian, Kofi Kingston, Fandango, Sheamus, Zack Ryder, Santino Marella, Chris Jericho, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, so that's his 20-man Battle Royal idea, which is cool. Definitely a way to get everybody on the card in a mega battle royal. U.S. Championship, triple threat. This seems to be the popular opinion. Roman Reigns versus Ambrose versus Rollins. The Shield break up, and it's complete, and they face each other and go their separate ways. He's got no winner listed. Mysterio versus Sin Cara as well, as you did, Will. Cody Rhodes versus Goldust, seeing that entire thing blow up, like everybody's kind of seeing on the horizon. Batista versus Brock Lesnar. Same as you, Will. You guys sharing a brain lately. Daniel Bryan versus Shawn Michaels. So he's got the belief that Bryan is going to deal with the Wyatt family situation before the build to WrestleMania, which I happen to believe as well, and somehow go get revenge on Shawn Michaels because Shawn Michaels screwed him out of the WWE Championship. Triple H versus CM Punk. Punk's going to get that big win over Triple H at WrestleMania, so it's just a huge moment for him. And, of course, I think Bryan will beat HBK. I think that's what he's trying to say here. And John also wants the streak to come down to The Undertaker defending it against Bray Wyatt, which is interesting. John always has these outside-of-the-box ideas for The Undertaker. Like last year, he said Roman Reigns. This year, he's saying Bray Wyatt. He's basically saying if the Wyatts go against the Machine, which is the authority, that he could see Kane making the match, that he could also see Wyatt going after Taker on his own, and either way could play out well. And in the main event, the WWE World Championship on the line, Randy Orton with Rowdy Roddy Piper in his corner against John Cena with Hulk Hogan in his corner, with the special guest referee being none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. He says basically you have this multi-legends main event that connects the 30 years of WrestleMania all together into one. So that is John's card for WrestleMania 30. He had to go 10 to the baby, which is all good. But now we're going to go to my card. And my card is, there's some similar stuff, there's some different stuff, and that's the beauty of it. Now I'm kicking the show off with the pre-show, and the pre-show is going to have the tag team champions of the Real Americans defend it against the Usos, the primetime players, and you guessed it, Los Matadores in a Fatal 4-Way, whatever, tag team match for the titles. You can do whatever you want with it as far as the winner is concerned. Off the main card with Dean Ambrose defending the U.S. title against Roman Reigns. Same pretty much match that you had, Toph, and I think it'd be important for Reigns' career to get the U.S. title in the opener at WrestleMania. Look what it did for John Cena. You know, John Cena, that was his biggest career win up to that moment at WrestleMania 20 when he beat the Big Show for it, and it kicked off that show in a great way. I was there. It was amazing. So I say Roman Reigns gets the strap from Ambrose. You could have Rollins be the guy where, you know, he's trying to keep the peace. You don't know what corner he's going to be in. Maybe Ambrose brainwashes him and he stays with Ambrose. Whatever. It can go whatever way you want it to go. I'm going to have AJ Lee defend her championship against Tamina Snuka, because Tamina right now has that Diesel role that Diesel had with Shawn Michaels back in the day, and I think somehow, some way, she's going to turn on AJ and try to get that title for herself. TNA is kind of doing the same thing with Gail Kim and Lady Tapa, who was on our show back in the day. Really heavy on the title matches this year, but here I'm going to have the Wyatt family, the three members, Bray, of course, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan. And they are going to go up against the Legends team, all right, the Legends team. Now, we kind of saw a Legend team go up against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 25. I think WWE might go in this direction again. I would definitely make Hulk Hogan be one of the Legends. I would have, as soon as, like, this Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt feud blows off, I'd bring back Hulk Hogan to TV and have the Wyatts just completely go after him. And you want to get those guys over his heel, that heels, that's what you do. You have him go after Hulk Hogan. As far as his two partners are concerned, that's a ton of factors involved. I mean, you'd like to say Ric Flair. Ric Flair is already retired from WWE. Can't do it. You'd like to say Piper. Well, how's the likelihood of Piper and Hogan teaming up? So at this moment, I don't have the other two legends that Hogan is going to team up with. I would personally keep it as a surprise if I'm WWE. Hulk Hogan could say, brother, I'm bringing two of my friends from the past, dude, and we're going to take out you Wyatt people, dude. You know, something along those lines. It'll be a classic Hulk Hogan deal, and it'll add to that legend kind of bringing that 30 years of WrestleMania together. For the Intercontinental Championship, it's going to be babyface versus babyface with Big E Langston defending it against the Big Show. I'm dying to see somebody fucking have a huge moment with the Big Show at WrestleMania. I thought Ryback would get it last year. This year, I think Langston could put the Big Show on his shoulder and drop him to the ground with a big ending, and it would be huge. Next match I'm going to have is Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara. That, to me, is it won't be a great match. I even thought about throwing Del Rio in there for a triple threat, You can have like a fucking Latino triple threat, whatever you want to call it. Maybe kind of have that match and just have those guys go their separate ways forever and never really wrestle again. I think it could be entertaining. You know, that's a great thing about it. It's hard to find a spot for a guy like Dolph Ziggler because his career right now is up in the air with a concussion. A lot of people are saying his concussion is really, really serious. So I'm not sure if he's going to make the card this year. Same thing for Damian Sandow because it's just so stacked. But as Toph said, the mid-card is important. Next match on the card, The Undertaker defending the streak against a heel, Sheamus, who is with the Authority and basically Triple H's new muscle. Sheamus can come back at the Royal Rumble or whenever and immediately turn heel. I think that's the way to go. Because if you're going to bring back Batista, chances are he's going to be a babyface. Bring back Sheamus, turn that son of a bitch heel. He was always better as a heel anyway. Turn him heel, have him go off the Undertaker. He's a guy that is still limber enough to bump for the Undertaker and do his things and could be a really, really serious threat to the streak with those. And plus, believe it or not, when the Undertaker takes finishers, he has to take some kind of simple shit. I don't see Brock Lesnar throwing him around this year. I'm sorry. I honestly don't know if I see John Cena picking him up on his shoulders and throwing him down either. Can I see a bro kick happening? Absolutely. I can see multiple bro kicks taking place to try to put down The Undertaker. But, of course, The Undertaker will prevail over Sheamus. I really want to fit Kane into that match somehow. I had an idea where it would be the first ever time that The Undertaker would defend the streak in a triple threat match against Sheamus and Kane, who are both representing the Authority, where Triple H is really trying to, you know, since he can't wrestle The Undertaker anymore, since that entire end of an era match, Triple H is trying to end the streak at all costs because it's not best for business to keep the streak going. There's definitely ways you can tie it in. Next match is a huge match, and I think this match is for the face of the company. And I'd have John Cena versus Batista versus Randy Orton, triple threat match. I know it's my second potential triple threat match on the card if I do the Del Rio Carr and Mysterio one. But I think Cena, Batista, and Orton is natural. They both came up together in OVW. They both came on the main card around the same time. And their careers are just synonymous with each other. You're not going to know who's going to win this match. You have no idea. And it would be huge. It's basically, I'd build as who is the real face of the company. Because if you guys remember, when Batista turned heel, part of his heel turn was that he thought he was the face of the company and not John Cena. So they were doing this face of the company shit all the way back then in 2006 or whatever. Not 2010, sorry. So that's been going on for a while. So I can see that match taking place. Here we go. CM Punk versus Triple H with Shawn Michaels in Triple H's corner and Stone Cold Steve Austin as a special guest referee. Here you have that intangible where Austin and Punk have that animosity from their past encounters and from the fans just wanting to see that match happen. And then you have that tie-in with Austin's, his definite backstory with Triple H and HBK. He can be a solid referee in this match. I think the crowd would pop like no other if Austin gave Shawn Michaels a stunner. And if Shawn Michaels gave Austin sweet chin music, it would be fucking awesome. So I think CM Punk, Triple H, Austin the referee. And in the solidified main event in my mind, which a lot of people have disagreed with me on, and I really honestly don't think it could happen, but I wrote an article on it, and I wrote an idea where I think it could, and I hope it will, because it would be a true underdog story. I would have the Royal Rumble winner be Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble by turning his back on Bray Wyatt. Basically, you know, the Rumble is going to be full of guys this year, and the Wyatt family could really run roughshod over the Rumble if they're all in it. You know, all four of them, if they're in it, they could dominate that fucker, just like Randy Orton did with his guys back in 2009. Legacy. You know, they could run roughshod. And if it comes down to, say, Bryan and Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt, since he's the boss, he's the leader, is demanding that Daniel Bryan eliminate himself, something along those lines, and Bryan turns on Bray, wins the Royal Rumble, rips off that crazy Duke Drosy costume he has and starts chanting yes and the crowd just goes nuts, there you go. There's your turn. Then you can blow the feud off at Elimination Chamber with a singles match between Bryan and Bray Wyatt. no DQ, something along those lines. Bryan can beat him. Since he's the Royal Rumble winner, he's getting a shot at WrestleMania. He needs something to do at Elimination Chamber. And then, it's already been announced that after the Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar will get a shot at the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Okay, so they have not said that it won't be inside the Elimination Chamber. That hasn't been discussed at all yet. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is in Minnesota, Brock Lesnar's hometown. Take Brock Lesnar, put him in that chamber, you have him win it, you have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and you have a good, solid month and a half build-up to Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, as your main event. And you're talking David versus Goliath. You're talking this guy that the authority has screwed over time and time again, everything coming full circle of WrestleMania 30, where Triple H then admits that, hey, I brought back Brock Lesnar as an insurance policy because maybe I didn't believe in Randy Orton. Maybe I didn't think he could get the job done. Brock Lesnar is my insurance policy, and he will end you once and for all, Daniel Bryan. Meanwhile, at WrestleMania 30, they have a great match. If Brock Lesnar can put on a good match, a great match with CM Punk, imagine what he could do with a better wrestler than Daniel Bryan. He can literally beat the bejesus out of Bryan, and then if Bryan can tap him out or knock him out in the middle of the ring and get that three count, you will hear the pop of a lifetime at WrestleMania 30. So that is my card, Bryan versus Brock. The marketing machine can get behind that and push it as one of the big four main events at WrestleMania 30. So there we go. That's four WrestleMania scenarios, four different scenarios from our mouths. And let's continue talking about it, guys. Toph, WrestleMania 30 around the corner. You gave your mid-card prediction or your mid-card fantasy booking. Is there anything that you expect to happen at WrestleMania this year?
Judging from the history of WrestleMania 10 and of WrestleMania 20, because it seemed as if, like, I don't know what the idea was, but if you go back and you look at those cards, it seemed like WWE was just determined to get everybody on the card, especially WrestleMania 20. That was a very long card. I'm going to assume the same. I expect WrestleMania 30 to be a very long spectacular, if you will, to use the word. And, it should be very interesting. I'm just, again, like you said before, my card was focused on the mid-card with the unification of the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship. You know, even though the world title was the lesser title, it always gave some of those upper mid-card guys something to do, you know, the guys that you knew can't be a WWE champion but could always be a World Heavyweight Champion, you know, guys like Cody Rhodes, Cesaro, Wade Barrett, Del Rio, Christian, so on and so forth, you know, and now that belt is gone, you know, really WWE has no choice but to build a more solid mid-card. So I'm actually looking forward to WrestleMania 30 because I think that it's going to be a very interesting, different card. And I think we all have pretty cool ideas. You know, I think the one person we all left out, I noticed, is that we all left out Brodus Clay with his monster heel turn. He's got to be on there somehow, but card is so stacked, I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, it's just so much talent this year. You know, so many guys to include in different ways. And you know there's going to be multi-man matches and triple threats and maybe fatal four-ways and stuff like that. But that top of the card, when you talk about the main event guys, especially when you throw around Brock Lesnar's name, The Undertaker, Batista, John Cena, Randy Orton, a lot of those matches are completely interchangeable. Like, I was even thinking to have Orton versus Batista one-on-one to give Batista, you know, a big babyface WrestleMania win again and have, like, maybe Undertaker versus Cena, or maybe have – and the Batista-Brock Lesnar thing is always a possibility. If Batista wins the Royal Rumble, I think there's a very big possibility he could challenge for the WWE title at WrestleMania, so against Brock Lesnar, that is. So, there's a lot of ways it can go. TLD, we gave our fantasy scenarios, man, and with the Royal Rumble around the corner, what do you expect to happen at WrestleMania 30?
You know, I think the Royal Rumble this year, they've had a lot of hype to this Randy Orton and John Cena match this year. You know, I was kind of surprised they put John Cena in the match, because now if he doesn't win this match at the Royal Rumble, you know he's not going to be in a title match, and somebody else is going to be taking that big spot. I think Randy Orton has to go in as a heel, because I think we need a strong heel to represent the company. Now, Brock Lesnar could be that other somebody. So they made it pretty clear that Brock Lesnar is going to be a number one contender. Don't be surprised if he walks into WrestleMania as a champion and somebody like a Batista goes against him for the title. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think that would diminish a lot of the roster. That's why I think that maybe Batista can be more of an attraction, and that's what Brock Lesnar is anyway. So I think it's like a special attraction match for that show, but not for the WWE. I don't think the title is a important role. I think Randy Orton's establishing himself as the strong heel in the company, and he needs to be the champion to go into WrestleMania. As far as Bray Wyatt goes, you know, I don't know how they're going to blow off that whole feud, but I think Daniel Bryan has to be the winner, or maybe CM Punk can get his steam back, and he'll be the guy going into WrestleMania. I don't know, but, I mean, all signs point to Daniel Bryan at this point.
Yeah, that's why I think they started this Wyatt family feud for Bryan anyway, is because he was involved, even though he lost that entire WWE Championship feud with Randy Orton by getting screwed over time and time again. He just kept getting screwed over and over again, kind of like Austin kept getting screwed by McMahon before WrestleMania 15, and so on and so forth. But Bryan just kept getting screwed, so they needed to really take their foot off the gas. Pull your foot off the gas a little bit on Daniel Bryan. And I've said this on the show in the past, and I'm pretty sure I heard this from Raven in a shoot interview one time, that the pro wrestling business, the way you should book it, is like you're jerking off. You know, you don't want to blow your load immediately. You want to wait. You want to take your time. And instead of just dribbling it on your stomach, you want to blow that shit across the room. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But that's just the truth. That's what you want to do. You want to take your time, especially in this day and age where WWE has no competition. I mean, TNA's biggest competition now is going to be Jeff Jarrett starting up his own promotion, which we can talk about if you want. But they're not competition for WWE. WWE's got no competition. Their entire brand now is focused about taking their time and just, you know, doing things the proper way. A lot of people will disagree. A lot of people are mad that Daniel Bryan hasn't had a run as WWE champion yet. But people just don't understand that screwing him over time and time again only made Triple H and Randy Orton more hated. And it doesn't matter what you think, what I think, because we're all these smart marks. We follow the internet. We know what goes on. We're in the chat rooms and the message boards and whatever. And the majority of fans don't do that. The majority of fans just are regular run-of-the-mill people who don't pay that much attention to it. They just watch it every week, and they don't analyze it like we do. And they now hate Triple H and Randy Orton, and that was the intention the entire time, is to put the focus on those two guys to be hated. So when WrestleMania comes around, you put them in situations where they can be defeated. It's basic wrestling booking 101. I get why people don't trust WWE to do the right thing in that situation. Believe me, I understand. But I'm holding out hope that the right thing does happen. And if Daniel Bryan doesn't get that WWE Championship match, if he wins the Royal Rumble, it's pretty safe to say he's going to win at WrestleMania. I think that's a shoo-in, especially since Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10. You brought up that comparison, Toph. 10 years. Bret Hart, WrestleMania 10. Big celebration. Chris Benoit, WrestleMania 20. Big celebration. I think you're going to see a similar type of wrestler guy, because as much as Vince McMahon loves these big, giant, you know, bodybuilder-type dudes, he also appreciates a great technician. How many times did he call Bret Hart, you know, what did he used to call him, Will? Like a technician, some kind of like classic technician, something along those lines. He used to call him that on the air all the time, constantly. He appreciates that.
Well, so I think they call, I mean, besides being called a mat technician, I don't remember the exact, I mean, besides being called, the, I mean, the excellence of execution to me is enough to say what kind of a wrestler Bret Hart is. And you could thank Gorilla Monsoon for that one. I think that alone, that saying, when you call him the excellent of execution, that means that no matter what move this guy does, he does it excellent.
Exactly. So all signs to me, in my mind, point to another guy who's kind of like that being on top at WrestleMania 30. The Batista-Brock Lesnar thing, you can always paint your picture that the reason they brought back Batista was to replace The Rock. The Rock all but confirmed that the plan was initially to fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30, but obviously those plans fell through and it might happen next year. Always possible that it could happen at WrestleMania 31, according to The Rock himself, not according to Dave Meltzer or anybody else. My whole thought process on this, guys, is that if Paul Heyman has come out 2 weeks in a row and has talked about nothing but Brock Lesnar becoming WWE World Heavyweight Champion, guess what? That's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'll be the first one to tell you that I was wrong, that I was completely wrong that he didn't win Elimination Chamber or he didn't win the belt at Elimination Chamber. I think, without a shadow of a doubt, he goes into WrestleMania as the champion. So many rumors being kicked around as to what will take place at WrestleMania 30, but we just need to enjoy the road to WrestleMania as fans, because every wrestling promotion, including TNA, including ROH, they are always on top of their game because they have to be. This is the point in time where the wrestling world is just focused on the business. Everybody wants more and more pro wrestling around this time. It's just that simple. So I'm excited. I'm just excited for the road to begin. It all starts at the Royal Rumble. And we're just going to wrap this show up, guys. It's been a fantastic show, a long show, a Ricky Morton interview. We gave out the awards, booked our WrestleMania, so we're going to give our final thoughts. So I'll go to Toph first. What are your final thoughts on tonight's episode number 66. Wow, 66? Unbelievable. Of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Yeah, I thought today was a good show, a lot of variety. I really like your idea of Sheamus going heel. I can picture it already. I can picture Batista fighting Del Rio because, you know, Batista actually did a tweet about Del Rio. Del Rio caught up Batista. I could see Batista beating up Del Rio, and then input a group of random heels comes out to attack Batista. They jump him. Here comes Sheamus to the big babyface return. You know, he scares them off. Like, say Sheamus is a steel chair or whatever. He scares off the heels. They do a pose together. Out of nowhere, boom, bro kick to Batista. Nobody would see that coming. At least the kids wouldn't see it coming. That would be surprising. I actually like that. That would be cool. And your idea of, well, since Triple H couldn't end the streak, have Sheamus do it, or just have this vendetta where, like, every year at WrestleMania, there's this story of Triple H trying to end the streak because he couldn't do it. I actually like that. That's different. That's a positive way of Triple H doing something without, you know, himself being in the match. I like that idea. I wouldn't mind that. I would not mind seeing Sheamus against Taker. Overall, though, I thought it was a good show, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks, man. And, that whole idea with Sheamus, I think it ties into Elimination Chamber. I like the idea of him attacking Batista to turn heel, because that Elimination Chamber, I think you'll see the biggest chamber match of all time. I'm just going to predict mine right now. I think it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton, who is still the champion, versus John Cena, versus CM Punk, versus Sheamus, then versus Batista. I think it's going to be huge. Will, final thoughts on tonight's show, man.
I love the show. I'm very happy Ricky Morton came on the show. Been a weird night. Got my fiance not feeling too well, so it's been kind of a weird night, but kind of in and out, so I apologize to you fans. But I love the end of the year awards. I think last year was fun. I wish we got to do it on video, but I'd still like to talk about it over the radio. And I, you know, to think about it, we didn't even talk about old school Raw, Jake Roberts. We didn't talk about any of that stuff. So, you know, it's been a long, long show, but I really enjoy the end of the year awards and WrestleMania 30 booking. We'll see who was the most right.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being on tonight, Will and Toph and JCD. It was a great show. And thank you to Ricky Morton, the brand new NWA Junior World Heavyweight Champion. I think it was definitely awesome to have him on. And, yeah, we didn't talk about Raw, but that's okay because we'll be right back here next week with episode number 67, where we'll talk about the current happenings in professional wrestling, including some TNA talk, Ring of Honor, and you never know who might drop in to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. So thanks so much for joining us. Episode number 66 is in the books. Keep it real, everybody.